So I have a few announcements to get going. Hey, shh. All right, so tonight, guess what's happening? You know? Oh. No, that's not happening. I mean, it might be. I don't know. What time does that start? Right now? Oh, good. It'll be way over by the time tonight happens. So tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to have a worship service here. And it's going to be awesome. I always feel like I can't concentrate. I'm just doing announcements. Can we, like, stop for a second? I can't think. It's too much. Nobody's... Hello? Thank you. So I'm teaching music now. I guess I'll just throw this in there. So I'm teaching music now, and I'm having struggles getting my fourth graders to be quiet. And so I'm like, what does your real teacher say to you to try to get you to be quiet? And they said, well, she just says class. And they say, and they're supposed to say yes, the exact way she says class. So I'm like, church. Yes. All right, awesome. So tonight, worship service, 6 o'clock. And I'm going to just say this. This is when the true worshipers are going to rise. This is when the people that love God are going to show up in this place. And I'm sorry, like, now you have to be here. So I look forward to seeing all of you. Transformed is coming up October 12th for the men, October 19th for the women, October 26th for Youth Impact, and it's going to be all new, all great, all good. God is good, so. And then November, all the way into November, we'll just throw this in there. November 10th is our annual chili feed and cook-off at 4:30 p.m., I know. Did you throw down last year? Were you the winner? Who was? Who was it? Janet. So we're going after Janet this year. And then November 24th is our family communion, which is probably one of the most precious and special times of the year, where we get to come and just take communion and just love on the Lord. So those are our announcements. And then here's our lovely offering / tithe box. Here it is, another extension of our worship. So awesome. So this morning, as I was getting ready, I was reading in 1 Peter, and in the 5th chapter, starting at verse 9, it says, oh, what did I just do? I don't know how to do your... I'm so sorry. My phone glitched out this morning, and I don't get his... So do you like that? Okay, so it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your... Wait, start down here. We're going to go to 8. I don't know how to do this. You read. Start at verse 8. I'm so sorry. Okay, here we go. Oh, good. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called all of us here today, to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and wait. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He's going to do that. He will settle you today. If you feel like you've been through a turmoil period, if you feel like you've really been through the ringer, today's a good day to just get settled in. And let him perfect you. Let him strengthen you. This is the time to stand up, get strengthened in the Lord. Whenever we're in unity, that's a good place to be. And tonight, I'm going to put a plug in again. Tonight for our worship, we're going to be down here. It's not going to be like there's platform worship. I don't even like this. I would rather be down here with all of my family, just worshiping and hanging out with the Lord together. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But we can still do that this morning, and that's what I'm looking forward to right now. So, Father, we just thank you so much that you settle us, and God, that you encourage us. You give us your grace and your peace for every single new day, and it's enough. God, it's enough for us in this moment, in this hour. And so, Lord, as we seek to worship you and we seek you with our whole hearts, God, we just pray that you would reign on this place today, God, and that you would just have your perfect way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness. His love is mighty, so much stronger. The King of Glory. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son? Justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
Take my place. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You know, he's all of our gods, but sometimes we put it into perspective of, well, Lord, that's not for me. What you have over there, that's not for me. We take ourselves out of the equation, and we basically say, well, he's everybody's God but my God. And we take ourselves out, and we disqualify ourselves, if you will. But he wants you to know that whatever your situation is today, wherever you're at, wherever you're, whatever walk of life you're going through is, he's your God. He's your God today. He's not your wife's God. He's not your husband's God. He's not your kid's God. He doesn't want you to be concerned about all that. He wants you to be concerned about he's your God today. He is all of their gods, but he's your God. He's your God. What he has for you today is new and fresh, and he wants to speak to you today because he's your God. So I want us to sing it again, and we're going to mix it up just a little bit.
My God is greater, my God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, my God is healer, awesome in power. Power, my
How many of you do a lot of driving? I do a lot of driving in any given week. And this week I was driving, and you know how when we have somebody who wants to speed up and get in front of us? I'm that person sometimes because I just don't want to be behind the truck that's bigger than me or the car that's slower than me. I'm an aggressive driver, unfortunately. I blame my husband, but he won't accept it. But you know, sometimes when you have somebody who's going to drive faster than you and they're going to speed up and they're going to get in front of you, and then you wind up meeting them at the next light anyway. They didn't get anywhere. They just got there faster. Well, that was happening to me this week, and then the Lord was showing me, this is what you do to me. I am your driver, and you get in the car, and I tell you, follow me. And you say, I don't want to be behind you, Lord. I want to go my way. I want to go as fast as I want to go. But I will sit here at this intersection, and I will wait for you to turn back around and realize that you need me to lead you where I need you to go. And it's like, oh, wow. How many times do we put God in the back seat of our lives, like Stephen is saying? Or we just, God, that's not where you want me to go. I want to go here. This is where I want to go. This is where I'm supposed to go. And he's telling us, no, I need you here. This is what I need you to do, because it's not what we want to do. It's not a part of who we are, we think. So, you know, and I don't know why, you know, I'm supposed to be speaking this to somebody, but you need to slow down and let him lead you where he needs you to go. Because, and if you pass him up and you speed on by and you realize, oh crap, where am I? He's still sitting back there at that last intersection waiting for you to turn around and say, oh God, help me, where am I supposed to be? He's always waiting for us. He's always patient for us. And he is always thankful to see us turn back and say, help me. Even if we have the hardest time doing it, that is when his mercy is the best for us.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the Lord, I need you, oh.
So I was at homecoming last night, and just seeing all the kids, like, singing and dancing and lifting their hands for artists that have done nothing for them. But why can't we do that for God and sing and dance and lift our hands for who's He's done everything for us? So I encourage you guys to worship Him.
So that goes along with what the Lord has been dealing with me about this morning, and that's, what does desperation look like? I was asking my husband, I asked a couple other people, and I said, if a person walked in and they were deaf and had not had lessons in sign language or anything, how would you get the word desperation across to them? What does that look like for you? And as I'm thinking about this, I think about the woman with the issue of blood that has had it for 12 years. And there's a whole crowd around Jesus, and she's pushing through. And I know that in that crowd, there are young people dancing around. There are mothers dragging kids. There are fathers saying, be quiet. I mean, she did not let anything distract her from the desperation that she felt. And so what does desperation look like to you for God? You see this? I mean, this young lady doesn't ever, hardly ever come up here and speak, but she's desperate. It's like God is getting a hold of her and saying, you know, if the kids can do that, what will you do for me? And it's the same for us. It's the same for us. What does desperation look like to you? And to me, if I knew this was my last hope, that woman with the issue of blood, if I knew this was my last option, I wouldn't let anything stop me. That this could be your last time to worship God in spirit and in truth. What does desperation look like to you? You know? And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm worth way more than even healing a dance. You know? I'm worth way more than any of that stuff. What are you going to do?
So, with that said, I just want to encourage anyone, not forcing you to come up, but anyone that's you know, having something ring true in their heart with this. You know, all the children, you know, pretty much are downstairs. And one of the goals of that was to make it so that on that day when that happened, they would be able to worship the Lord. They'd be able to have their own experience. But on the flip side of it, one of the individuals said, I want it so that all the parents can really enter in. And so it would make sense that on this kind of a day when everything's gone into, you know, creating that kind of an environment, that the enemy would get you to start focusing on all the other issues of your life and start to forget where we're at. And not that being here in this building is where we're at. But right now, we're in the presence of God. You know, we're a corporate body, and we've gathered together, and He's in our midst in a more, I believe, significant way than even when we're as individuals or we're two or more gathered. Because we're in that oneness now. We're in that family, and I believe God wants to do something really powerful, as He does every day in our lives. But today is an opportunity for us to draw close to Him. Draw close to the Lord, and He'll draw close to you. And so I want us, whoever soever will, to come up around here. I know we're going to have worship tonight, and we're going to, you know, have it close and intimate. But I really feel that if you want to be desperate for God, if you're willing to shout and dance, and maybe we don't have any more shout and dance songs, but just worship the Lord in spirit and in truth out of your fullness of your heart and your gratefulness for what He's done for you, then join us up here. Because, you know, that's part of what today can be, is that you don't have to worry about your children, you know. You don't have to let the distractions of your life affect you. Right now, you can just focus on Him. And I believe as we focus on Him, He focuses right back on us, and He meets our needs right where we're at. Thank you, Lord.
When we're desperate, it takes more than just being desperate. It takes a response, and that means determination. Whenever we feel like we're about ready to give in, we have to have that determination to just keep moving on and moving up. So the Father is desperate. I just see the Father so desperate for a relationship with us individually. And that desperation is also his determination that he will never walk away. He will never give up on his children. The Lord wants unity with each of us. Be desperate. Be determined to match the love that the Father has for you, so you have the same love for the Father.
But wholly trust in Jesus' name.
rest in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
God keeps showing me these two little kids, and it's a coincidence because my kids were, as a mother I can say, horrible yesterday. They were pulling me in every direction just to get me to be discouraged, and this morning he's reminding me of these two little kids, and they're tugging over a toy, and they're both saying, mine, 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 and that's out of desperation because they want this so bad. They're desperate for this toy. And God's not a God where he's going to cut this toy in half and say, you get one half and the other kid gets the other half. God is a God that can give you the whole thing. Both of these children can get the whole thing that they want. And that's with us, guys. He is such a huge provider that he can give us everything we need. And he's not able just to give it just to one person, but everybody can get what they need. He just has his arms wide open, ready to give you whatever you need. And these last couple weeks have been really hard for me and my family. Not just like, not for me, but certain things have came up. My mom was beaten. And she had to make a really hard decision to go turn in her husband. And so I've been dealing with that. And through that, there's been so many glorious things that has happened in my life. My sisters and I are closer than we have been in a really long time. And there's other things that have happened. We had to put our cat down that we've had for 16 years. And just like in, there's just been like so many different things in my life. But through all of it, I knew that God was in control. And in your guys' lives right now, I know that there's a lot of things going on in each one of your lives, and that sometimes you feel like you're in this tunnel and you don't see the light, but the light is at the end of this tunnel, and God has you in that tunnel for a reason. And I know that I was in that tunnel for a reason, and through this whole situation, I've been able to be the light to my family that they needed through this situation. And that's why you guys are in that tunnel, because at the end of that tunnel is the light that you guys will be for the people who need that inspiration, who need that encouragement. And that's how we are equipped to help other people. So don't get frustrated. I know sometimes, like we were talking or we were singing where it said that I need you every hour. I'm not kidding you, ladies. You all have been there as a mother. You don't need him every hour. You need him every second. So don't get discouraged, because he is there for you every second.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Jesus, that in your presence is fullness of joy, God. Thank you, as we stand here, we can come before you boldly before your throne and confess anything that we've said or done that has been displeasing to you, God, and our slate is wiped clean. God, you did that. You made a way for us. Thank you, Jesus, that our fears can be washed away, that our mind can be renewed and reset and settled upon you.
thank you, God, that we can be your friend and you're also our King, our Majesty. Thank you that we have this relationship that we can call you Abba, our Daddy, and yet we know you're sovereign in our lives and your way rules and reigns, God. Thank you, Father.
The scripture that keeps coming to my mind is, you ask not because you have, you have not because you ask not. It's like when things come our way, we just keep going and going. We forget that our Daddy's right there, and all we have to do is just ask. It's like we forget that he wants to give us everything. We just have to ask him. He wants us to come to him as little children. Like how a little kid comes up, Daddy, Daddy, please, please. He wants us to do that. And it's like we forget, and we just take it all upon our own shoulders with a burden that was never ours to bear.
Thank you.
gives up, never runs out on me.
Morning. Morning. You know, church, what amazes me is that God is jealous for me, and he's jealous for you. And it's not the type of jealousy that brings condemnation and brokenness. I believe that it is a righteous jealousy. And it's not because of anything that I've done. It's not because of anything that you've done. It's simply because he loves us unconditionally. He's jealous of our time. He's jealous of our praise. He's jealous when we love the things of the world. Let's not take for granted the love that the God of the universe wants to rain down on us, because he is jealous for us. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord.
The love of God never fails. Never is going to fail, never will fail. Only reason that we even consider that his love is failing in our lives is because we get so caught up in everything else of life that we get so distracted. We get ahead of him in the car. You know, we give up in our desperation. And we say, well, you know, it's that person got God, but maybe that part of what I need the Lord isn't for me. Maybe it's just for them. And I mean, the Lord's really communicated to us today through a myriad of individuals in the Spirit of God that he loves us. He loves us, and he's loving us in such a way that he doesn't want us to love anything else because it will hurt us. It will hurt us to love other things. Not in a way that he's getting just mad and angry, but that he's getting hurt, that we're hurt. How many have loved other things and they end up leaving you cold and empty? All of us. I'm sure all of us could raise our hand. But his love never fails. Man, I pray that today we could comprehend somewhat how wide, how deep, how long God's love is for us. Just look at the person of Jesus Christ and what he did, went through, the anguish, the punishment that he went through for you and I, all because of love. Because of love. I always thought it was just so it could just save my soul. Well, that's the byproduct, but it's because of love. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We receive, God, your love into our hearts again today. It's so easy sometimes to let life overwhelm us in such a way that we forget about your love. But Lord, we remind ourselves right now, your love never fails, never gives up, never going to run out on us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, what we say, how we act, your love's never going to fail. You're always waiting to love us, to have the opportunity to show your love in our lives. So, Lord, we just thank you that your love is so real and so tangible. And it's here today, touching the hearts of us, touching our lives, Lord, in such a way that we're being changed from glory to glory. We just receive, Lord, all of your love, all of your goodness today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you take a moment, greet someone, welcome them.
Hello? Hello? Is it on?
Okay, guys. You're so friendly. Praise the Lord. Brother Ken has something he needs to share.
The Lord was impressing on my heart that after reading in Matthew and in Mark about the love of God, the seed that he sows in our heart, not fall on stony ground, sprout up and wither away when we walk out the door. We better have our heart well cultivated so it'll sprout up and be with us throughout the rest of our time, whatever.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. This coming Friday is our 24/7 prayer day that we cover as a church, the city in prayer. So if you do not receive the emails and you need a scripture support prayer topic, you can just go ahead and pick them up right here on this chair after service. And we're going to be sending around a sign-up list. This is for the greeters and ushers, which it's really mainly greeters. We don't do any really ushering around here because, except maybe helping somebody find something, but we don't actually, you know, pass an offering bag, so it's not that kind of usher. So actually, it's a greeter's sign-up sheet. It still says ushers on it, but if you'd like to welcome people when they come in here, let them know, you know, that they're we appreciate them coming and welcome them with a smile. And if you're not a person with a smile, you know, just let the Lord fill your heart and he'll give you one. Sign up, put your name, contact number, and we'll be contacting you. We'll have a training time. It doesn't take very long. It's just on a morning before we actually start the greeting. So, and then also Transform 2-4, October 12th for the men, 19th for the women, and youth are the 26th. I have envelopes here. Let's see, would somebody pass these around? Anybody? Okay. I know we handed out some last week, but if you didn't get one last week, just raise your hand. There's still some in the back. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely.
So last year around this time, the Lord brought into our lives a sweet lady by the name of Tangi. And last night, the Lord called Tangi home. And Chanel and Heather are here, her girls. And Tangi had been here a few times. Some of you may not have gotten to know her, but I did. And she was just such a precious heart. But this Friday we're going to have a service here for Tangi, and I'm in need of help for food from you ladies. So I am not even sure yet the time of the service, but we will want to minister to the family afterwards with a luncheon. So I will be calling you ladies, or if you want to see me after church, it would really be helpful if you guys could come and let me know that, you know, you'd like to help provide food, because we really want to bless them. These girls are left without their precious mom, and I know their hearts are hurting, and we just want to minister in the best way that we can how much we love them. So if you want to see me after service, I'd appreciate all the help that I could get for Friday, okay? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Showing the love of God in a practical way, right? Well, praise the Lord. Holy Spirit is so gracious and kind, and able to make everything come together. You know, sometimes we get involved and doing things, and you know, we feel the Lord's leading us a certain direction and guiding us a certain way, and you know, sometimes you get started into it and you wonder, like, was this the Lord? Is this true? Reminds me of when we went treasure hunting a few weeks ago, Josh, and we had some clues, and we went out to find these treasures, which are people who God had on his heart that day, and allowed us to be part of that hunt and then give them what the Lord had. And sometimes it was healing for some, other times just an encouraging word. And but when we first started out, we had some of these clues, especially Josh had a few clues that were just like, there's no way these are real. And as we found out, as we went along, more and more the day produced the revelation that exactly what we heard was what God wanted to do and the people he wanted to touch. And that's kind of the way I feel about the message today, because I've had this word for a little while now, and I didn't get anything else, so I really felt, well, this is what the Lord wanted, or was hoping that this is what the Lord wanted. And after today's words and encouragement and the different ways even things were illustrated, I realized that this is what God wants to talk to us about today. And, you know, some may say, well, that's, you know, that's real, real simple. You know, God doesn't have to be complex. I was talking to somebody. I said, you know, it's really the simple things that of God that become so complex, because we overthink them. We over try to analyze them, and we make them so much harder than they are. And they're hard for our natural mind because they're so spiritually understood, hard for this natural mind to comprehend. And we end up selling short the most powerful, I guess you would say, for lack of a better term, truths of the Word of God. And I'm, for one, am going to fight with all of my might and purpose in my heart to not let his most powerful truths, even though they may be the most difficult for me to understand and comprehend, be lost in my natural thinking. Because I believe that it's that truth that's going to make us free. Walk in a true liberty and freedom, a true grace, a true empowerment. So with that said, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 18? Now some of you are going to say, well, Pastor Mike, we've talked about this kind of stuff before. Yeah, we have, but obviously we don't have it yet. How many know when the Lord is trying to get us, you know, to do something, and, you know, we go through, I guess, the revelation, the teaching and all that stuff, and we think we have it. If the Lord's bringing it back to our memory, at least for me, maybe this message is just for me here today. I doubt it, but you never know. You guys can just join with me as I preach to myself. But the truth of the matter is that I believe that he wants us to understand these basic principles, these simple truths, so that we can walk in who he wants us to be. We know that it's about being like Jesus. It's not about being like Pastor Mike or anybody else here you see. It's about being like Jesus. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit and the beauty of the Father and God and Jesus Christ and his work of the cross is that he takes the vessels that we are, all messed up that we are, and he makes us into vessels that still have the framework of who God made us, right? He says we were fearfully and wonderfully made. In our mother's womb, knitted us, put us together. We heard about that last week. And designed us to be a certain way. And how many know we're all different? You know, sometimes we're similar. We got similar temperaments. And sometimes that's not a good thing to get those two together. But, you know, magnet opposites attract. Positive, double positives push against each other. But, you know, the thing is that he's made us a certain way. And when Christ is perfected in us, when Christ gets to have his complete work in us, he takes what we are and makes us into something that is usable for his kingdom, that brings him joy. And so today, this truth, I believe, is another reminder to us, of what God wants us and how he wants us to think and act and live. So with that said, it says that, 18:1, sorry, Matthew 18:1, says that the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What do you think was on their mind? Well, we've been real close to this guy, you know. We've known him, and we've walked, you know, all these different places with him. We've been sent out. We've done powerful things. And so I think there was some pride and self-seekingness that was coming in this question. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of these little children like this in my name receives me." So here you have the disciples, and we don't know exactly which one it was. Maybe there's another gospel that says, you know, it was Peter or somebody else. I know there were other places in the gospel where a couple of the other disciples were asking questions about being able to sit on his right and his left, and they were vying for power. And, you know, these are the ones who were around Jesus, saw his compassion, saw his love, saw his empty life that he lived, you know, the sacrifices that he made of loss of sleep to minister to the people. So, I mean, they saw how Jesus lived, yet that didn't really matter. They still wanted to know, okay, so what do we get out of this? Do we get a position? Do we get a place in the kingdom of God? I mean, are we gonna be great in the kingdom of God? And Jesus doesn't, you know, really answer the question here. He just grabs a little child, brings them in the center of them, and says, listen, you have to become converted and become like a little child, this one that I'm putting here, if you want to even enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, guys, we're adults. The children are downstairs. There might be a few younger ones in here right now, maybe some babies, but they're probably not going to matter that much. But the point being is that we're adults. And you know what it's hardest for us to do as adults? Be like children. We're trying to raise our children so that they'll become adults. And so what we can easily do is neglect and remove some of the great attributes of childhood. And I believe Jesus isn't talking about the fighting over the toy type of children, you know. You know, this is mine. We heard about that, you know. No, this is mine, you know. Or, this is my toy. You're not going to play with it, you know. And, you know, I don't think that selfish attitude, which, you know, that's part of the fallen nature, you know, that selfish attitude. I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about. And I don't think he's also talking about, you know, just, you know, the children that run just crazy all over the place, you know, just running and you know, not listening to anything. I don't think that's the type of heart that he's talking about here. He's talking about that part of a child, I believe, that is in total reliance, total dependence, total necessity of their parents. That they don't want to go out. You know, sometimes you have kids, you know, they wander in a store, and my wife has a wonderful story about one of her kids one time that wandered away and how she kind of taught them a lesson by hiding and, you know, and making them think that they were lost for a moment. She had her eye on him, but, you know, it was a point she was trying to make. But, you know, I don't think most kids want to be separated from their parents, do they? Until they get older. How many know they want to be separated from their parents when they get older? Now, Stephen said he's going to live with us his whole life. He did. Thank the Lord he didn't. Yeah. It's not your preach. It's not your preaching time. Anyway, Stephen, you know, he's like 12 or 13, and we're driving, and he goes, "Dad, you were older. You're going to think, no, I was younger than that. No, you were really older." And I'm like surprised that he's still thinking this way at this age. But he goes, "Mom and Dad, I want to live with you like forever." I said, "There's no way that's going to happen." And I wasn't saying that, you know, like, and we just wanted to kick him out of the house. I just said, "Stephen, you're going to want to be on your own. You're going to, no, I never want to be on my own." You know, it's all these things that, you know, because, you know, he liked being, you know, with his parents, which is great. But how many know that he was like one of the first ones out of our house? I mean, he was living on his own young. So something happened in there, and he said, "I've got to be out of here. I've got to spread my wings and fly," which is great. Which is great. Parents, I encourage you to let your kids fly. Let them out of the nest, and then receive the grace and the love and the peace that comes into the home after that happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I don't believe Jesus is talking about, you know, the nature of children that where they're, let's put it this way, trouble. I believe he's talking about the nature of children where they are, "Daddy," you know, they reach up their hands, I want you, I need you. I can't get along in this life without you. You know, where you're in a crowd and if you get separated from them, they're looking for their parents. I believe that's the kind of heart. You know, and that's not pride. That's humility. That's desperation. That's understanding your great need for God. Because look what he goes on to say here. "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Whoever humbles himself. Now, I want to tell you that your humility and your actions of humility may be different than mine. Because, you know, we all get this picture of humility, what it means, you know. Everybody thinks, well, humility is coming up to the altar, kneeling, you know, and being on your face, or humility is letting somebody else, you know, go in front of you in a line, or, you know, our humility is basically giving up what we consider to be our own way, what we consider to be our own strength, what we consider to be our own abilities. And you say, "Well, that doesn't make sense. God's given me abilities to be used for him." Yes, he absolutely has. But he is not giving you abilities to be used by him in your own strength. He's given you abilities to be used by him, but not in your own strength. Because if you do it in your own strength, if you do it in your own abilities, you're going to be thinking that you're earning it. See, the disciple says, at that time, the disciples, and I'm sure if we go up into 17, we're going to read that probably something took place. I didn't have a chance to do that. Where the disciples were wondering, what's going on? You know, it's like, are we great in the kingdom then? Can we become significant? Can we have a place of honor in the kingdom? And how many know that honor is not something that you earn a right to? In the kingdom of God, it's totally different. See, it talks about honor being something that we give somebody when it's due, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's become this way in the body of Christ that we've let people be honored based upon just this list of things that they have accomplished. How many know that that is the world's way of honor? See, in the world's way, you only really get honor if you've gotten the credentials, right? In the kingdom of God, you've got honor because God honors you. God already honors you. So if God already honors us, we should honor each other. See, you should not have to be going to college for 5 years, 6 years, and earning some kind of degree before you're respected in the kingdom of God, before you're given a voice in the kingdom of God. That's the world. The world says you do this, 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 and this, and then you have the right to do this. Not in the kingdom of God. It's crazy, isn't it? Because this right here, this goes against all the teaching we've had, all the training we've had. You don't get a promotion at work unless you've earned it, right? Hey, come on. I mean, very rarely do you just get promoted on your first day. But in the kingdom of God, that can happen. Yeah. Case in point. You have a man who's on the cross with Jesus Christ. One moment before, he's blaspheming him. He's saying, everything else everybody's saying. Something clicks in him, and he sees something happen. And I don't know what Jesus did. I don't know if it was when he looked up at the Father, if he looked after he cursed him with love in his eyes, but something made him see who he was. And this thief, who probably deserved to be there, ready to die, in a moment was promoted to a place of being with Jesus. I believe standing next to him in paradise that day. See, that's the kingdom of God. That's the way he works. That thief didn't earn anything. He didn't have an opportunity to prove any of his devotion. He just said, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your place? He said, I'll tell you what, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kind of heart that we have with each other, loving each other in such a way that we honor you and I honor you and you honor me, not because of I'm the senior pastor, but because God honors me. Is this making sense? I didn't know this is where I was going to go with this, but praise God. So whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So in essence, the most powerful person in the kingdom of heaven is going to look on the outside like a child. Now you think about that for a moment. The most powerful person in the kingdom of heaven is going to be the most dependent, the most needy, the most hungry, the most desperate person that you've ever seen. Now, they may not accomplish this long list of things, but they will live a life totally dependent and reliant on the Father. Totally in need. They will be a very needy individual. Now, it's very possible that through that need and that hunger and that desperation, that they will accomplish the most outwardly, but maybe not, because it's the kingdom of God. Let's go to another place, and hopefully I have it here. Guess what? Don't, but we just read it. How many are doing their 90-day Bible reading? If you'd like to, lots of you. If you'd like to join us, we start Luke tomorrow. We finished Mark today, praise the Lord. And we start Luke tomorrow. There's sheets up here, and you can just join us right in the very flow of it. December 14th, isn't it? Yeah, December 14th we'll be done. And I'm going to put a plug in for it. I think next year I want to see if, as a body of believers, we can go through a one-year Bible together. How's that? Does that sound good? I know Jesse would say, amen, he does it all the time now anyway. But I just think that would be awesome. And we still might throw a 90-day challenge in there, but, you know, it might be a little different. Okay, Mark. This is just something that the Lord put on my heart just now. So hopefully I'll be able to find it. Fortunately, my Bible has nice headings. It's where the two brothers come to him and request something of him. When it was the day or the hour, Jesus, sorry. Okay, hang on just a second. Use my find ability. How's that sheet go? It's already around. Did anybody sign up for it? Two people. Four? Send it back to her again. No, I'm kidding. They used to, years ago, they used to take offerings, and they would go and count the offering. And if there wasn't enough money to make the budget, they'd just take another offering. So, obviously, that was their process back then. Hang on. May have been in Matthew. Mark 10:35. Thank you for James and John. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. So, this is another statement about greatness. I had other scriptures, but I believe this is what the Lord wants to communicate here, because this is, again, this heart of, have I earned it? Have I made something now? Am I somebody now, God? In Mark 10:35, thank you, honey. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Like, who do you think you are? You're not going to be first. I am. No. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. That's kings, you know, CEOs. Any way you want to look in the natural world, you will see a pecking order. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, a pecking order. Yet it shall not be so among you. Wow. It shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I believe this is talking about, believe it or not, that same attribute of somebody totally dependent on God, not worrying about what they're going to attain or what they're going to, you know, acquire, but just worrying about, are they going to be able to please the Father? And that kind of individual will be servant of all, will be lover of all. Not working his way up some corporate ladder. See, that's why we should be able to get past this Sunday morning, and I say Sunday morning because it's where we experience it, the Sunday morning kind of effect that takes place, or effect that takes place where those who have come in and haven't felt like they've earned a spot don't participate to the place the Holy Spirit would like them to. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, there's prophetic gifts in here. There's singing gifts. There's people that during the week you may minister to the Lord in such a way that, you know, you have a relationship, or maybe you don't. Maybe you're just living your life. But Holy Spirit can inspire you on Sunday morning to be used in such a way that it looks like you've earned something. But it's just grace of God, because He loves all of us. And He wants to let the gift that He's placed inside of you become a tool to encourage us, to challenge us, just as you know, we heard from somebody who went to a dance last night. The Lord even used the dance to let her see, wow, these people are chasing after something and worshiping something in a way, just going crazy when they haven't done anything for them. And she was bold enough, thank you, Allison, to come up and share and deliver the word of the Lord. And she'll probably do it again. Maybe it'll be about something else. But listen, guys, if we truly want to become the body of Christ, we have got to allow the honor that God has already bestowed upon us, the gift of His grace that He's already fully given us, the love that we can't run away from, empower us to be somebody that we don't deserve to be. That we haven't earned to be. That we receive honor because He honors us. And we receive empowerment because He empowers us. Not because we've earned the place of empowerment. Now, I'm not against reading the Word. I'm not against study. I'm not against going to college. I'm not against any of those things. But if that becomes what the ticket to your being used, then you are following into the world system. See, John the Baptist was outside the system, completely outside the system, to the place where the Pharisees and Sadducees are going like, who gives you the right, you know, to be telling people to repent for the kingdom of heaven's at hand? You know, and he just, you know, said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? You know, it's, but he was honored by the Father, and he stood in that honoring, and that became his ministry. I believe every single one of us, including myself, here today, have so much more that we can give for the kingdom of God. And it goes beyond this room. I believe it goes into the highways and the byways. I believe it goes into our workplaces. It goes into the stores. But, you know, this is a place where we gather, a safe place. It's a proving ground, so to speak. It's a place where hopefully we're all, you know, cheering each other on, not hoping they're going to trip and fall. You know, how many times in the world do you hear about, you know, I was just hoping that person fell so I could get ahead, you know? You know, the only falling that I would pray that you guys would do and hope that you do would be falling on your face before the Lord. Not falling on your face because you failed or you stumbled. If you did, I'd want to be the one there to help you stand up and move on to your next place that the Lord has for you. See, this becoming, this transformation of becoming children of God, I thought, it's instant. Well, it is instant. The moment the revelation comes to us and understand that we're children of God, we're children of God. But we have to fight the human nature, the nature that's all around us every single day that says, stand up and be a man. Stand up, you know, pull your own weight. All these communications to us. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And, you know, that sometimes gets barked in such a way that you know, it's all about just earning something. The only thing that we earn, really, is I believe, the ability to enter into his rest by chasing after him, by yielding, totally surrender to him. We earn the ability for him to come inside of us in such a way that we're empowered beyond our own abilities. But we don't really earn it. But it's to those who are hungry. It's to those who are like little children who get converted, changed, transformed. Totally made new. And then fighting and resisting the human nature, the world around us, to go back to where we hold ourselves up by our own self. Pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Make something of ourselves. Oh. Those are so foreign. That language is so foreign to the kingdom of God. See, we could say, well, Jesus made something of himself. No, he emptied himself, which made him something. See, that's hard to understand. Wait a minute. I empty myself. I empty my own abilities, my own, all this stuff that this appears that God made me like. And then I become something? Yes, that's Jesus' way. That's the kingdom of God way. And I want to enter the kingdom of God. And I know, in a way, the kingdom of God's within me, around me, that where I go, I take the kingdom of God. But I want to enter in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Where it says that the kingdom of God isn't, you know, meat, what you eat, what you drink. You know, it's not about, you know, a festival. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where we're full of joy, peace. And guess what? That's contagious. In a world where there's chaos and unsurety and, you know, question about what tomorrow's going to bring, somebody has a true peace and contentment and joy has something to share. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways. It can be, wow, I know someone that has my future completely in his hands. And so it doesn't matter what the world has happened to it, my future is in his hands. My security is not in my own abilities or in the abilities of the government or in the abilities of, you know, the corporations to make the right decisions so that, you know, my security is in the Lord. That's a childlike faith. That's the kind of heart that God wants. But, you know what, guys? It's not just going to come from one message. It's going to come from you determining that this is important. Matthew 18 was important. That's why Jesus communicated it. That it is necessary for us to become converted and to become like little children. And I believe to resist our own thoughts, our own ideas, and purpose in our heart to not follow the way of the world, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the renewing of our minds comes from feeding ourselves the truth. And where is the truth? The Word of God, not iPads, not iPhones, not Androids, but the Word of God inside of here. The Word of God cracked open daily, feeding your heart, feeding your soul. The Word of God that speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. How many of you had a verse speak to your heart you've never read or you forgot about it? All of a sudden, boy, it speaks to you. That's Holy Spirit inside of you, activating and making alive that word. I had, when I was first saved, I had the Holy Spirit speaking to me Bible verses that I have never read. It says that you have no need for a man to even teach you. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, lives inside of us. But we have got to get hold of the fact that everything that we've seen up to this point may have been a lie. How to live, how to chase after life, how to become somebody for the kingdom of God, it may deter us, and it may keep us from entering into the fullness of his joy. Amen? Amen. You have something, Josh? Amen. Amen. Raise his hand. He knows the answer. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, God, for the time we got to spend with you, Lord, in true worship. But Lord, I pray, God, that we would not make it about a Sunday experience. We would not make it about some time when we have a Bible study or just even our reading time, Lord. But we would learn to be totally dependent upon you 24/7. Help me, Lord. It's so easy to get caught up in life and doing things and chasing things and accomplishing things and missing you in all of it. Help me slow down. Help us slow down, Lord, in our hearts long enough to say, Father, help. Teach me. Lead me. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, show me the truth in this matter. Cause the lies to come to the illumination through your word and your light so that I can believe you and not keep following deception. Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray, God, the work that you're doing in them, what you've started in them, as you've promised, Lord, you would be faithful to complete. Lord, I pray that if they have been waiting, waiting to be activated, waiting to be noticed, waiting to be honored, waiting to earn their spot, Lord, that you would just remove that right now and you'd let them know, Son, I honor you. Son, I will give you whatever you need when you need it. You'll be able to be used by me. Daughter, I love you and I honor you. You can be used any moment by me. You don't have to earn it. You've earned it through my son. My son earned it for you. Lord, that there would just be a reality of faith that would come to us as your children. That we would have that carefree spirit, that willing heart to please you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do not forget tonight, worship night. This is our first one. Let's make it a great one. Bless you. Love you.